We begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samachei. Begin 4 lines down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, that which opened up this parak, discussing the laws of Get Mekusher and Get Pasha. So, Reb Shimon Gamliel Leimer, he was quoted in the Mishnah as saying, Hakol Kemining Amadina. In other words, we had a discussion, according to the Tanna Kamma, regarding that there's differences in Get Mekusher and Get Pasha. And then there was the opinion of Reb Chanina that maybe you could make a Get Mekusher into Get Pasha, and therefore it's going to be Kosher even if Edom are signed inside. Shmuel said, he says, everything depends on the custom of that country, whatever their halachas are. So the Gemara asks, but Tanakama, Leslie, Miniga, Medina, what? And that the first opinions, the Tanakamas, do not agree that it depends on the custom of the country? In other words, if Rabbi Shimon is coming to tell us that the laws of the Get Pasha and the Get Mekusha, which the Tanakama delineated what they are, if he's coming to say that there are certain countries that their customs are to do it differently in a different way, that he's coming to say that then it goes according to the custom of that place, well then the Tanakam would also agree, if that's the custom of that place, well that's the way they do their documents, what exactly is Rav Shimon Gamliel coming to disagree with the Tanakam? So Amar Vashi says, and some like the Rashbam have the gear so that it's Abayim, and that is Abayim is coming to explain that what Minika Medina would it be possible to explain that there is a machlikas on the Kamar Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, generally, you would assume, okay, if that's the Minik, so that's the halacha. And because that just depends on the custom, what was this, the designed and defined should be this type of a get, this type of a shtar. So, what is the halacha? So, Abaye sets it up, or Ravashi, as follows. Ba'asra dinahigi pashad, if the custom of that place is to only write an open document, and va'amale avit li pashad, and he told the person, make for me an open document. And instead the scribe made a bound, closed document. So then says Abai, it's obvious that Kepeda, obviously that would be a particularity, it would be something that he'd be upset about. And therefore if he was writing, let's say, Get Isha, it would be invalid to go ahead and divorce with that because that's not a valid shtar. Let's say the other way, Nihigi Mekusha, let's say the custom that place was to make this Get Mekusha. Let's say it was for that place with the Kahanim were, where they didn't want him to divorce too quickly. So the custom was to make a bound document. And he said to the scribe, make for me a document that's bound. Instead, he made from an open document. Again, kepedu obviously would be something that this person was particular about and that he's upset about, and it would not be a valid shtar, according to both Tanakama and Reb Shimon, because that's the minhag hamakom. But keep league, he says, Abai, so what is their disagreement regarding? It's ba'asra dinahigi b'pashad u'mekusher. It's a place where the custom is that they make both types of documents in that place. Some make open, some make bound. Vamali avali pashad, and the person who was writing the document, let's say the Get Ishad, said to the scribe, write for me an open document. V'azal avali mekusher, and then he went and made for him a bound document. That's their machlokes. How so? Mar sabar kepeda. The Tanakama held that the person is particular. He said, make for me a get pashad. Meaning, although the custom of that place is to do both pashad and mekusher, but since he said, I want you to make a pashad, an open document, so that was what he ordered. And therefore, if he makes a mekusher, it's going to be pasul. Whereas Umar, the Rebbe Shimon, Savar, he holds, when he says the words, Hakol Kemining Medina, what he meant to say was, Maramakum Hulai. He's trying to say that it goes according to the custom of the place, and therefore, although he told him make a get pashad, he was just giving him a suggestion. What he was telling him was that if it's difficult to make a get mekusher, because I understand it's very cumbersome, then you could go ahead and write a get pashad, because it's much easier to write an open document. But if you're going to write a get mekusher, a bound document, of course I'll be happy with that. That's much harder, more sophisticated, more craftsmanship that requires to do that, because that's the minhag medina, but to do both, to do either one of them. So when Shimon uses the words, hakol kaminhag medina, he means to say, yeah, in such a case where the custom is to do either one, although he said pashad, that was just a suggestion. Okay, if it's too hard for you, yeah, go ahead and write a get pashad. But if you write a get mekusher, of course that's going to be okay. And therefore, it's not a hakpada, and that's why he says it's going to be kosher. Where Tanakama says, no, it is hakpada. He said, I want it to be pashad, and makes him a kosher, it's going to be pasul. Now, based on this teaching, Umar Baya, especially according to the Gears of the Rashbam, that it was Abaya who said this, Rabbi Shimon Malil, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Kulu Svil Hu Mar Makmulu, they all hold this svara, this philosophy, that when someone's telling someone to do an easier task, he's just giving him an indicator of what he could do, but not a specific explicit command, only this and not the more difficult thing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hodamar. Shimon Gamliel is like we just explained from whether it was a Rav Ashi or a Baya, this idea where if the Minhag Medina was either cut Mekusher or Pasha, and he says do Pasha and does Mekusher, it's going to be Kasher because it's just a Mar Makam, it's not a Hekpada. Rabbi Shimon does not, so do we find Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin. Shimon Naima, he says, Imhita Lishvach, if the woman was fooled for the better, in regards to the laws of Kedushin of getting engaged, where, for example, if she tells the agent, I want you to engage me from that man with a silver dinner, and turns out what he received from the man who was engaging her was a golden dinner, says Rabbi Shimon, Harizim Mukadeshas, so then she's going to be engaged. Now, as Rashbam points out, as the sugi there discusses, that's only regarding if it was a mistake for the better in regards to money. But if, let's say, turns out that she said on the condition that he's a Levi, and turns out he's a Kayin, that it's a Shvach in Yichus, then actually Rabbi Shimon says that it's not going to be Mukadeshes, because there she could say, I don't want to feel inferior to him. But here, when the mistake was for the better, then the halacha is that although she said silver, she was just saying, I'm okay even if it's silver, gold for sure, which is a Mar Malkim, it's not a Hakpada. And as the Gemara there explains, as we mentioned, it's where she's getting engaged to an agent where she's not present at the time. Turns out she was mistaken for the better. It's not considered hakpada. She was just saying you could even do silver, but gold for sure. The same concept of Mar Malkim. And Rabbi Laza did not. Rabbi Laza so too is a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Ha'isha Sha'amra, if a woman tells a shliach, Hiskabali Giti Mimakim Plainia, I want you to be my agent to receive my get from my husband from that place. Now, Vakibala Lamakim Acher, but he actually went the extra mile and received it from the husband in a different place. So the Tanakhama apostle. That will be a shliach le kabbalah. That's going to be possible. It's going to be invalid to divorce her that way because she didn't want to be embarrassed in any other place. She wanted specifically where she said to get it from. You weren't my agent to receive it in that case. Rabbi Laza Machsher, which Rabbi Laza said is going to be kosher. What's the reason? Explains the Gemara. Marasava Kepeda, Tanakhama held its particularity. She says, you got to do what she says. If not, even though you went the extra mile, it's going to be possible. Umar Sava Mara Makamalai, whereas again, Rabbi Laza held them this Svara, that it's just a suggestion in the sense of, look, I don't want you to have to go ahead and make the effort to go, you know, go. You could go even over there. You want to go even further and go to where the husband is? What's called Tavalav Bracha, for sure you should be blessed. You're going the extra mile. It's not Akpada, what I'm saying. It's just a Mara Makam. It's just a mile marker, just telling you something what you could do. But of course, if you want to go all the way, these three tanum hold of that svar. Now the Mishnah said, Pasha Chakazza by Eid Echad Bechulu. So it spoke about the differences in the Get Pasha, again, which is an open, regular document written on the inside of the paper, whereas the Get Mekusher is bound over, has different halachas. So the Mishnah said that an open document that only has one witness is going to be possible, and the Get Mekusher that has only two witnesses, as we said in the Mishnah there, the halacha is to have three. So there, if you have only two, it's going to be possible. So the Gemara wonders. We could understand why it was necessary for the Mishnah to tell us that regarding the bound document, that if you only have two witnesses, it's going to be possible, because you would have thought to say, oh, since in general, two witnesses is kosher, by regular document, all you need is two witnesses. Also, by the Get Mekusher, although initially we say you should require three witnesses, we would have thought to say two would be valid. Kamashman the apostle, that's why we say that no, it's going to be invalid if it only has two witnesses. But regarding the open document, to say that if there's one witness, that's going to be possible, of course it's going to be possible. We know that Al-Pishnayim Eidim Yachim Dav, we always know you only need, you could only validate any context with two witnesses. What's the chiddush, what's the novelty in saying if there's one witness, it's going to be invalid? So Amabai, he says, Loi Nitzurcha, you're right, it wasn't necessary to say in the Mishnah that one witness in the open regular document is going to be possible. It's rather coming to teach us that even if that's being assisted, that besides that one witness in writing on the document, there was also someone that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that is orally saying the same idea. Where still the Mishnah is telling us that although we have two witnesses stating the claim of what's written in the document, which would validate what's going on, but the Mishnah is telling us that you don't rely on the document to be able to collect from incumbent properties, from lekuches. The reason for that is because the halacha that when someone has a milvah ksub b'shtar that's written in the document could collect from lekuches is only if the two witnesses are signed on the document, because when there's two witnesses on the document, then the word gets out, and then whoever bought it should have been careful because they knew about it, that they're going to be able to, because there was a lien on this property from the person that they bought from. In this case, says Abai, what the Mishnah is teaching us, since there's only one witness signed on the document, it's going to be considered an oral loan. And yes, since there's two witnesses, they could collect from the person, from the debtor himself, like someone who lends a friend without the with just witnesses if it wasn't written in the document. But however, it cannot be collected from the chasam mishabadim. And moreover, the borrower could say, parati, I paid it up. And the lender cannot say, hey, what do you mean you paid it up? Why do I have the document in my hand? He could say, since it wasn't done the way the chamur masakan to have the two witnesses inside. So the borrower didn't remember and wasn't concerned to ask it from the lender. Those are the differences that we have in that halacha. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us when it says it's possible, means as a written document for a loan, it's going to be possible. Of course, two witnesses you have, one orally, one written, and it's going to be kosher to collect from the debtor himself, but there are certain invalidations of the written loan that's going to be possible to be able to collect from the chasam mishabadim, and also to preclude the borrower from saying that parati, you're not going to have that with this document. Now, however, Ameimar, achshar be'ed echad b'ksaveh, eid echad al peh, he actually validated such a document where one witness is assigned and one witness says orally. In other words, if let's say that one witness who's signed, you have his signature validated from two other witnesses elsewhere, and you have one witness who's orally saying that this loan happened, then as the Rashbam explains, says that Meimer, it's actually going to be totally kosher even to collect from the kuchas as if both of them were signed in the document itself. Because Rav Meimer holds that if you have one witness signed in the document and one orally, that the word does get out. And Rashbam says it makes sense to interpret like this because the word machshir sounds like that he totally validates this as a regular document. So therefore he disagrees with Abaye's halacha. Now, so Amalei Rav Ashi L'Amemah, so Rav Ashi asked HaMemah, but B'hoda Abaye Mai, what are you going to do with Abaye's halacha? Abaye said clearly, and we have to say that to interpret the halacha of the Mishnah, that when one witness is signed and one is saying it orally, that then it's not going to be kosher to be able to, let's say, collect from the Chasam HaShabad. How do you say that it's kosher? So Amalei Samei Amem responded to Ravashi, Lo Shmili, I didn't hear of this of Abaye Kalema. In other words, Lo Shmili, I don't hold of his interpretation. I hold that it is going to be kosher. So then asked the Gemara, Elikasha. But then you have a difficulty which we asked originally from the Mishnah, which said, well, it's obvious, as you continue to Medbeis, Masnitin, what do you do with the Halacha of the Mishnah? If you hold that when one witness is signed and one witness is oral, then it is kosher, so then what's the case in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said if there's only one witness, it's going to be possible. We asked, obviously, one witness is never kosher. So Abayan answered, no, it's coming to say that even if one is al-peh with that one b'ksav, that's going to be possible, but you hold it's kosher. So how do you answer the question on the Mishnah then? Then if it must be talking about only one written, it's obviously going to be possible. And that answers the Gemara, Hakamash Malan. No, what the Mishnah is teaching us, when it says that an open document that has only one witness is going to be puzzle, it's not for itself. Because obviously, you're right, of course it's going to be puzzle. It's coming to teach on the parallel case in the Mishnah by the Get Mekusher. It's coming to teach us the Shnayim B'Mekusher Ke'ed Echad B'Pasher. The halacha of only having two witnesses on the bound document is the same as the equivalent as having one witness on an open document. And that's why he mentions the halacha of one witness by the Get Pasher, to tell us, Mahas, and just like over there, by when you have one witness on a regular document, Psula Daraisa, that's a biblical invalidation. As the Pasuk says, in Devarim Yotes, L'yokim Eid Echad B'ish, you cannot have any halachic consequences with just one witness. Avhacha, that's so too over here, when you have only two witnesses in the Get Mekusher, Nam Psula Daraisa, that's also a biblical invalidation. In other words, the sages who instituted this Get Mekusher considered a Get Mekusher with only two witnesses as if it was biblically possible. And therefore, if it was a get, it's not going to be divorced. If it was a loan document, you're not going to collect from Mishabadim. But says Rav Meimar, validating his interpretation, but if there was one witness in the document itself, and one witness orally, not just one in the Get Pashut or two in the Get Mekusher, then of course it would be a totally valid document because they do combine the one written in the document and the one who's orally saying it. And he says, Teda. He says, and you should know what I'm telling you is true, like I hold, not like Abaya. Because the Sholchu Mitam Chavrai L'Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because they sent from over there, the colleagues sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah, which is after that they had sent him out of the Beis Medrash, out of the study hall, as we had taught earlier in the Chav Kimmel Mebeis and Pekli Achbar, that they had sent him out of the Beis Medrash. And it's actually based on this dialogue that they actually brought him back in, as the Gemara will conclude at the end. They had sent him the following question. Eid echad b'ksav, ve'id echad al peh ma'u should start from. They asked him this exact question. If you have one witness signed in the document, one saying orally regarding this loan, what's the halacha? Could they combine to say as if both of them were signed in the document to make it a totally valid shtar with milva b'shtar? So on that they explained to him the question as follows. Aliba the Tana Kama, Rabbi Shuv ben Karcho. According to the first, the Tana Kama who disagreed with Rabbi Shuv ben Karcho, which this is their machlekes the mission Masechta Sanhedrin Perek Zebayir Naflam and Aleph, where the Brisa there quotes that witnesses cannot combine together to say testimony in the court until they're both testifying regarding the same thing. They saw the same thing at the same time. Which is, even if they'd both be saying, let's say, that this guy owes him $100, but it would only be if they had witnessed the same thing and they're both testifying regarding that thing. That's what Tana Kama holds. Shimon Karcha disagrees. And he says, no, even if they saw it at different times, and even though they're not testifying regarding the same thing, but if it comes out it's the same thing, then it's going to be valid. Now, there's actually another machlekes that's mentioned over there, which the Gemara is going to shortly mention, that the Tana Kama holds that a testimony is not valid until both of them say the testimony at the same time. First machlekes is regarding what they saw. Do they have to see it at the same time? Second machlekes is regarding when they say it. Tana Kama holds they have to say it at the same time. Reb Nosson says that no, you could hear the testimony of one witness today, and when his friend comes tomorrow, you could hear his testimony. Now, these two machlekes, one of Reb Shuv ben Karcho and Rabbanan, and the other one of Reb Nosson and Rabbanan, so the Gemara there explains the reasoning for their machlekes, either if it's based on psukim or it's based on logic. But either way, explain the chavraya to Reb Yirmiya that the question that we're asking regarding one written and one orally, that would not be a question according to the Tana Kama of Reb Shuv ben Karcho, that loy tibaylach. For sure there wouldn't be a question, because the filishnai and biksah, because even if you have two written and signed in the document, and we want to go ahead and validate their testimony in the document that they're signed in, or let's say vishnayim apeh, if let's say two orally, regarding collecting money for testimony that they said that's not written in the document. Even there, they hold loy mitzdarfi, that they do not combine if they both didn't see the same thing that they're testifying at the same time. Where, and that's even though, either way you look at it, they're both testifying that this guy owes $100 to this person, it doesn't make a difference. Now, that's the same thing explains Tosis on Amud Aleph, because when you have one witness signed in the document and one orally, there's actually, they're testifying at different things. One's regarding the giving over the document, one's saying regarding what actually happened, as Taisa explains. So therefore it's like they both are testifying the same thing, but it's they saw different things. And therefore it's like the halacha of the Tana Kama Reb Shuv ben Karcho, who says that even if they're both in the same format, of both in writing or both orally, they won't combine. So for sure in this, where it's in different formats that they're trying to combine, and they both saw different things, for sure it's not going to combine. But when would we ask you this question? Rabbi Yirmiya was according to Reb Shuv ben Karcho. Where Shnayim Biksav, Shnayim Apehu, the Mitztarfi, he holds that even if they saw different things, they're testifying regarding different things, but it has the same conclusion. If, as the context where they disagree is regarding when they're both in writing or both orally, where he says, yeah, I saw. He says, I saw the same thing, but on a different day. They combine. Avol, but maybe Eidech b'ksav Eidech alapeh lemitzarfina. But maybe if one's in writing and one's orally, where it's different formats, maybe they even Reb Shuv ben Karcho would agree that they would not combine. A demolish, no, maybe it doesn't make a difference as long as they're both testifying the same thing, even though what they saw is at different times, and they're even their testimonies in different formats. Maybe it would still combine. So Shalach Lehu, he sent back to them, Ani ein kedai sheshalachtem li, I'm not worthy that you, the Talmid Chachamim, the Besmed, should be sending me this question. Elakach das Talmid Chachamim Neita, but this is how the understanding of your student leans, is that Sheyed Starfer, that they should combine, and that it doesn't make a difference as different formats, it will still combine the Kontra B'Shubban Karcha. But one thing says, Amem, you see, like I said, that they do combine, and it's considered like a regular Milvaksu B'Shtar, even though one is oral and one is written. Now, however, Amalei, but Rav Ash responded back to Amemar that no, Anan Hachem Asninla, we have a whole different version of what was that incident, that story, which would not support you, which therefore, hence, by default, would not be a difficulty on Abaye, who holds that actually that they would not combine one orally and one written in the document. We have a different narrative. The story goes as follows. The Shochel Lechavrai L'Rav Yirmiya, the colleagues have sent Rav Yirmiya a different question, which, since a different question, is not going to reflect on what Amemar is disagreeing with Abaya, and hence not be a difficulty on Abaya, and neither support Amemar. The question that we have in our version is, says Rav Ashi, is they sent him shnayim she'idu, regarding two people who were testifying regarding a testimony. But echad bebezdin zeh, one went, an individual, one of the two from the pair, one went to testify in one court, ve'echad bebezdin zeh, and the other one went to testify in a different court. On that they asked him, Mao sheyuvohu bezdin etzel bezdin beitztarfu, what's the halacha? Could now the two courts combine together, and then together verify and combine the testimonies that they heard and judge based on that testimony, because now the court together has a sum total of two witnesses testifying the same thing. So they explained the question. Aliba the Tanna Kamma Reb Nosson, which was that other machlokes we had mentioned previously. That is, we're talking about they both saw the same thing at the same time. But when they're testifying, they didn't testify at the same time. That's where you had the machlokes Reb Nosson Rabbanon, if that's okay, if one could testify today and one could testify tomorrow. So according to Tanna Kamma Reb Nosson, Loiti Barlach, they said, no, there is no question. Because they hold that even if it's the same court, it's not going to combine if they don't come to testify at the same time. And here where it's different courts, for sure it's not going to combine. It has to be same court, same time. When would you have the question? Is according to Reb Nosson. Because maybe only in the same court is where they combine, where, yeah, okay, one could testify today and one could testify tomorrow. But maybe two different courts, there you can't combine their two testimonies, even though they're testifying regarding the same thing, but it's at two different courts. No, maybe it doesn't make a difference. No, they could both testify in front of a court as long as the same thing, and then they could combine the two courts. The shalach lu, and he sent back to them, ani ein kedai sha'atem shalachtem, leave the same type of an answer. I'm not worthy that you should send me this question. But this is how your student leans, is that they should combine, and because it doesn't make a difference, even though they're at different times or even different places, as long as in front of a court, their testimony could be combined together. But again, the primary purpose that Rav Asher was telling him was it doesn't support a Meimer, and neither does it contradict Abaye, because it wasn't regarding Echa Biksab, Echa Bapeh, it was actually regarding both of them Balpeh, but in regards to testifying in different courts, could you combine the courts or not? However, actually, the Gemara brings a third version of what was said, again, unrelated then to the discussion we had with Abaye and the Meimer. Ma bar chiyo amar, he says, Hachish Hachalei, no, a third version, this is what they sent him. Shnaim she'idu bebezin zeh. Two people testify in this court. V'chazav idu bebezin zeh. And then they go and they testify in a different court. Ma'o she'yovei echad mikol bezin b'yitztarf, which are those that put in, meaning, and then they testify in a third court. What's halacha? Can you have one of each one of those courts, one of those three judges from each one, to combine, to be three judges, and to be a court? And the question was, there's no question, because if we can combine the testimony of witnesses who are at different times, it doesn't make a difference. So the Yonim Ibai, so judges, would we have a problem? For sure not. Because regarding testimony where that's Apishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, there, even there, he says they could be at different times, and therefore here, where it's at different times, the judges for sure could combine. The question would be, according to Tanna Kamma Reb Nosson, and that is Edom who delay mitzarfinan. It's only witnesses who they don't combine. They have to be at the same time. Abduyon mitzarfinan, or however, regarding judges, they do combine. So if you could take judge from court number one, judge from court number two, and judge from court number three, and combine them to judge based on these same two witnesses' testimony. Odimalash, no, maybe no, it doesn't make a difference. Just like witnesses do not combine, so the judges do not combine. And the Vat Shalchu, that's what he sent to them. Ani eini kedai shadim shalachmli, I'm not worthy that you would send me the question. Elekachtas tamit chimnaita shidstarfa, but this is how your student leans that it would be combined. That is, even though he holds that witnesses not, judges yes, because they all had the two witnesses testify in front of them. You just, each one heard to, and then they could just combine these three different judges from the three different courts and judge based on that. Ravinama, he actually has a fourth version. He says, this is what they sent him. Three judges who sat down to validate a document. Now, one of the judges, after that the witnesses had already testified regarding their handwriting, had testified in front of all three, because you cannot validate documents with less than three judges, because you need to have a court to receive their testimony. After that, before they got a chance to actually, the judges have a chance to sign that they verified it, one of the three judges passed away. So the question was, do they have to write the following clause? We were a group of three judges. The chadli sahi, but one of them is not around anymore. In other words, that it should not appear like they're lying. How could they write, which that's what they write, the meisiv talas avina, that we were three, and at the end only two sign? So you have to write that to take away the look of that something improper was done over here. Or maybe they don't have to. They could write meisiv talas avina and still sign only two of them. So shalach lahu, he sent to them, ani eini kedai shatim shalachtem li, I'm not worthy that you would send me this question. But this is what the understanding of your student would appear, that I lean that shetzrichem lamichtev, that they do have to write, but meisiv talas avina mechad leisahi, that we were a group of three, one's not here, and therefore we can understand why it's going to be kosher, even though only two signed, because three of them received it, and now we just need two of them as the verification. And says the Gemara concludes, Va'alda ailuhu l'Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'mei Midrash. And it was for this that he responded appropriately, that then they actually brought Rabbi Yirmiyahu back into the base Midrash, because why they originally had sent him out was because, as the Gemara there says, he was shol shaloi kagan, when he had asked the question was inappropriately, because he had asked something regarding 1 foot inside the boundary, 1 foot outside the boundary, which for that they sent him out, because they said you're asking questions that are inappropriate, as the Gemara brings the Perek Le'achba, and now because of this response, which was appropriate, they actually brought him back into the base Midrash. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak and of the previous Mishnah regarding the halachas of documents. So says the Mishnah, Kasuv Bai, if it's written in a loan document, the following words, Zuzin Meya, 100 Zuz, the Inun Sela Seloin Esrin, that are 20 Sloim, that this guy borrowed from that person. Now, although generally 100 Zuz are 25 Slum, now here it says that he borrowed 100, which is only 20 Slum, says the Mishnah, so then the lender could only collect Ela Esrin, only 20 Slum. The reason for that is because the holder of the document has the lower hand, because he wants to take away money from the debtor, and that halach is Hamitzim Echabar Levaraya, he has to bring the proof, because maybe what the interpretation of this conflicting words in the document mean, it's 100 inferior Zuzin, which are only going to be worth 20 Slum. So that he could only collect the 20 Slum, not 25. Let's say it says Zuzin Meya, 100 Zuz, the Inun Tlosin Slon, which are 30 Slon. Again, usually 100 Zuz is only 25, but now it says there are 30 Slon. That says the Mishnah again, Inlay Elamana. He only gets the 100 Zuz, because again, you could interpret that the 100 Zuz, which are 30 inferior Slon, which would only be like a regular 25 Slum. And again, therefore, it's only going to be able to get 100 Zuz, which is 25 Slum, not 30 Slum. Again, because Yad Bal Ashtal Al Tachtaina, the one that's holding the document, has the lower interpretation. And again, because the sela is 4 dinarim and the mana is 25 slum, that's the understanding of this mana, where again, it's usually 25 slum, but if it's written differently as 20 or 30, the one who's holding the document, the lender is going to have the lower hand. Now, continues the Mishnah. Let's say it says in the document, kesev zuzin de'inun, silver zuzin, de'inun that are, v'nimchak, but then the number, which is supposed to say that are, it was erased. It doesn't say. It's supposed to say that silver zuzin that are 100, whatever it was, number, but it's erased. Says the Mishnah, impachis mishtaim. So it doesn't get less than two, because since it was said in the plural, so it's obviously at least two, but we don't know how much. It could have been 1,000, but it doesn't say, so we can't give. Again, yad bal shtar al tachtayna, he only gets two, not less than that, but not more than that. Similarly, let's say it says kesef sloin de'inun v'nimchak. Let's say it says that there were silver sloin that are and it's erased. Again, ein pachas mishtaim, it doesn't get less than two. So to darkoines de'inun v'nimchak, which are some type of a golden coin, these golden coins that are and it's erased, ein pachas mishtaim doesn't get less than two, again, because it's in the plural. Another halacha, kasabe milmala mono umilmata mesayim. Let's say on the top of the document, when it's talking about how much the loan was, it says that it was 100 dinar. And the bottom, it says that it was 200, meaning on the bottom part of the document, when it repeats the terms and contracts of the document, it says it was 200, or the other way around, milmala mesayim umilmata mono. On the top, it says it was 200, and the bottom, it says it was 100. Hakol hoylech achar tacht, and everything goes based on what it says on the bottom. Just as long as, like the Rashbam says, as we said in the previous daf, as long as it's not in the last line, because the last line you don't learn out anything though. But whatever it's repeated on the bottom, that's the primary one. So says the Mishnah, Kain Loma Kaisin as Elian. So then why do we write the upper part of the document? Since the enemy is going to say and repeat in the lower part of the document, and you said that's the primary part, that defines the terms, so why do we write at all the upper part? Says the Mishnah Shim Timchik is Achas Minatachin, because if let's say one of the words on the bottom, because it could get smudged one of the letters could get erased on the bottom, Yilman Min HaElyon, then it could learn from the upper part. That's why we write it twice. But right, in Halacha, the primacy goes to the bottom one, and that's going to be the defining if it's 100 or 200. If it changes, it's the bottom that's the primary. Now the Gemara continues on this theme of the Mishnah and quotes a Braisa regarding ambiguous terms and how do we qualify it. Tarabon Lin the Braisa. Omar Kesef, let's say it says in the document that Reuven borrowed from Shimon silver. Says the Braisa, well, how do we define that? Ein poches medina kesef, so then the lender doesn't get less than a silver dinner. So although it just says silver, the Gemara will explain, it's referring to a silver dinner. Now, continues the Braisa, let's say it says kesef dinarin, or bedinarin kesef. So then, when it sells a silver dinarin, it says in the plural, so ein poches mishnei dinarin kesef, then it doesn't get less than two silver dinarin, that was what the loan was regarding, because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like that, since it says in the plural, two silver dinarin, Reuven borrowed from Shimon. But let's say it says kesef bedinarin, not like the previous kesef dinarin or dinarin kesef. It says silver in dinarin, ein poches mishnei dinarin dahav of kesef. Then it doesn't get less than two dinars worth of gold in silver. In other words, it sounds like that regarding the silver dinarin, he borrowed silver from the other person, a value of two golden dinarin, which as Gemara will explain later on, it's actually because we're talking about, it says kesef bedinari, which that would sound like dinar zahav, but as we'll see later on, but by dinarin, that sounds like two silver dinarin. So therefore, when it says kesef dinarin, dinarin kesef, that was referring to silver dinarin, and the plural was two, so you don't get less than two silver dinarin. Here where it says kesef bid dinari, so then it's talking about silver in dinarin, which is the plural of two golden dinarin, that's how much silver he loaned them. So the Gemara explains, oh my mind, we're learning the Braisa, kesef, when it says that he borrowed from him silver, so the Braisa said, in poches medina kesef, so then the lender, when he's collecting, won't get less than a silver dinar. Which the Gemara asks, Be'ema Nasra, how do you know it's referring to a certain type of silver currency? Maybe it's talking about a bar of gold. So Amr Balazi says, no, it says that it was a coin. So I'm not asking more Be'ema Priti, but maybe it was a silver coin, a lower denomination, that of like the lowest coin of a pruta. So my papa, he says, no, but Asr Dulisagi Pritikasp, it's a place where they don't have such low currency of silver, and therefore the lowest one was a dinar, and that's why if it's a coin and they don't use prutas, so therefore when you just say silver, the lowest that, as we say, Yad Balashtar al Tachtain is going to be a silver dinar. Similarly, Tanabon Lunda Bryce Dahav, Fletze says in the document that he borrowed from him gold. So Ein Pachis Medina Dahav, it doesn't get less than a golden dinar. Fletze says Dahav Dinarin Bidinarin Dahav, either a golden dinar or dinar gold. So in poches mishnei dinar dahav, since it says they're in the plural, it doesn't get less than two golden dinar. Let's say it says dahav bid dinar, gold in dinar. So in poches mishnei dinar kesef dahav, so it doesn't get less than two, meaning the gold that he borrowed, as we'll explain later on, as we said, the dinar sounds like it refers to silver. So he's not going to get less than two silver dinarins worth of value in gold. Now the Gemara explains, Amar, the Tana of the Braisa said, Dahav, if he says that he borrowed gold, Ein poches medina dahav, doesn't get less than a golden dinar. And that the question is, as in the previous Braisa, where they were discussing silver, he's discussing gold, Ein menascha, maybe means a bar of gold. Amar Balosa says, Nam dechasim abe, it says that it was a coin. As a katin top of kaf samach vav min alav, but veim apriti, maybe it means a lower denomination, not of a dinar, but rather of like a pruta in regards to gold. So the Gemara apriti, the dahav of the ancient people do not make anywhere golden pruta is something that you use copper, maybe of silver, but definitely not of gold, and therefore it cannot mean that of gold, and therefore it's going to be, since it's a coin, you're going to get a golden dinner. And the Gemara next up will continue explaining this braisa and the halachas, so how do we know what it refers to when it says ksav bedinarim or dahav bedinarim.